Tonight, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the 40th chapter of the book of Psalms, and I want to take a reading lesson from there. My thought from the fifth verse of that chapter, and thy wonderful works. If I can do anything tonight of any good, I want to instill some kind of confidence in you, the same confidence that I found in the Lord. I want to instill that in you. David said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me, and He heard my cry. He brought me up out of that horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon the rock, and established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works, which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned upon in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than I can number. Sacrifices and offerings thou didst not desire. Mine ear hast thou opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings hast thou not required. Then said I, Lord, I come in the volume of books. It is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregations. Lo, I have not refrain my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. My iniquities have thou hold up on me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head, therefore my heart faileth of me. But please, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backwards and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame, that they that say unto me, aha, aha. Let all these that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help, my deliverer. Make not tarrying, O my God. David said, as we ended up this reading, the chapter of 40 of Psalms, he said, let all those that that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. Folks, tonight, I hope that that you love the Lord tonight. And I hope that in your heart that before you leave here tonight, that you will magnify the Lord for He is good. I hope that that you'll go through the week and magnify God for He is good. That you will lift Him up and give thanks to Him for all that He's done for you. I hope that you'll go throughout this week and you'll tell others about Jesus and what Jesus has done for you and how that He died and how He arose again. I hope you'll magnify the Lord to a lost and dying world. I hope that you get such great confidence in God tonight that you'll just go through the week magnifying Him and lifting Him up and telling the world what Jesus has done and how great a Savior He is and how good He is. David said, in the last verse, He said, I am poor and I am needy. And folks, I know just exactly what David was experiencing. I felt, now the first of this year, I felt so poor and I was so needy. And I felt it as if I couldn't go no further. But my friends, I'm glad tonight that God was thinking upon me, that He didn't leave me in the situation that I was in, that He brought me forth out of that situation. He placed my feet and firmly established me upon the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thought tonight I wanted to try to talk to you about the wonderful works of God. You know, and that's a huge subject, and I believe tonight that we've got to see the wonderful works of God, and we ought to see them every day in our lives. We see them when we go out in the morning time, and we see the glories of God in the heavens, and we see the glories of God in the earth, and we see all the glories of God, and we see His wonderful works. And what we're living in a society today, my friends, or a world today that is trying their best to prove that there is no God. And the more they try to prove that there's no God, the more they prove that there is a God, whether they understand it or not. But my friend, when I thought about the wonderful works of God, I remembered the creation where God created the heavens and the earth and everything therein. We live in a society today that does not believe in, and they're trying to prove that the world is not just 6,000 years old. They're trying to prove that it's millions and millions of years old. The Bible says, when it talked about it in the book of Genesis 1, it says, in the beginning God creates the heaven and the earth. He created them. It was just a big blob. But then about a little over 6,000 years ago, God, in 6 days, He formed it and He made it in the shape and in what it is today. But they don't understand all the things about God, how that He created it and He made. In 6 days, He created everything as it is and formed man. And then on the seventh day, He rested. We live in a society today that's trying to tear down the workings of the world, and they're trying to say that there's such a thing as climate change. They're saying there's such a thing as global warming, that it's all man-made, and that man is the one that has to fix that. But I know this, that God is still in control. I know this, that the Bible tells me in the book of Genesis in chapter 8, in verse 22, that it says that while the earth remaineth, He says that seed time and harvest time and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. And folks, if God made it, God's still able to control it. And He's able to keep it. And He's able to fix it. And no matter what Al Gore says, no matter what the world tells you, folks, God is still in control. And He's still able to fix things that are broken. He's still God. He's still God. You know what the problem with a lot of the world today is? Is that they have never experienced a Damascus Road conversion. They've never experienced the conversion like Paul experienced, one that totally changed and rearranged everything about who Paul was. Paul was a man that wanted to tear down and destroy everything about the Lord Jesus Christ. But on the road to Damascus, he met Jesus Christ, and it totally changed the man Paul and who he was. God was still in control of that. And the world today needs that Damascus Road experience. I read about Hannah this afternoon. We all know about Hannah. That how that she was a woman that was unable to give birth, and how it just broke her heart, and to see the other woman, I don't even remember her name now, but I remember the other woman that was that she was able to give birth, and she could not, and it just broke her heart, and she went to the synagogue and she prayed and she called upon the Lord. And folks, God changed things in her life. Folks, I know that when you go out into the world, when you try to magnify the Lord, the world wants to try to destroy you and tear you down. But just trust in the Lord. He can change things in your life. Trust in the Lord and He'll bring you through whatever situation you're in now over here to another situation where you can give Him honor and praise and glory. Hannah, as she went to the Lord and He gave her a child and she returned that child to the Lord. And we find that she, in the second chapter of that book, and she began to pray. And she said this in the sixth verse. She said, "The Lord killeth and maketh alive, and He bringeth down to the grave, and He bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich, and He bringeth low, and He lifteth up. And he raises up the poor out of the dust, and He lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes, to make them inherit the throne of glory, for the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and He has set the world upon them." Both God is a God that can change things in our life, and I want you to have confidence in that God that every day of your life that He can change things. And when He changes things in your life, give Him the honor and give Him the glory. He's the lifter up, and He's the tearer. He can tear us down, and He can put us in the place that we need to be in, that we can give Him the honor and glory. I thought about Joseph. This morning on the way to Gallatin, I thought about Joseph. And I told my wife, as we was driving up Gallatin, I couldn't remember if it was Joseph or Jacob. I said, "Which one was it?" And I had to get her knowledge on that. But I thought about Joseph. Joseph was a man that in the very end of his life, he was a man that was such a blessing to his family and to the people of God. He was a blessing to them, but the road that he had to travel to get there was a very difficult road. But God brought him through every bit of it with grace. And folks, the roads that we travel in this life as the children of God, folks, it's a very difficult road. Many times there'll be bumps, there'll be bruises, there'll be things that get in our way. But my friend, if God can bring Joseph through the other side safe and without harm, He can bring you through the other side also. Have confidence in God. Have confidence in Him. We're talking about the wonderful works of the Lord. Peter, he made this comment about Noah. Noah was a man that we know that found grace in the eyes of God. He was a man that built the ark. He was a man that gathered all the animals, and he was the man that through all this he saved his household. There was eight souls saved, but there was something else special about Noah that Peter brought out, wasn't he? He said that he was a preacher of righteousness, a preacher of righteousness. You know, God, even though mankind at that point had totally turned their back on a holy God, they didn't want nothing to do with Him. Let's forget You, and we want to do our thing and forget all about You. Yet God was still merciful to them, and He allowed Noah for 120 years to preach the gospel to them and tried to point them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, the goodness of God and the wonderful works that he does. I'm glad today for a God called men that will give of their time and give of their self for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they'll go out and they'll preach the gospel and call people or beg people to come and repent of their sins. I preached a few years ago. I was still a member at New Bethel, and I preached down, well, I won't say where I was at. But I preached and I touched on that you do not have to be a God-called preacher in order to tell somebody the gospel, that they could hear it and be saved. And when I got done preaching, I sat down and the pastor got up and he began to preach me a sermon about that if you don't hear it from a God-called man, you cannot be saved. How arrogant is that? God does not need me to preach the gospel, but He uses me to preach the gospel that others can hear it, that others might learn, that others might be able to also go out and tell others about Jesus. I cannot be ignorant enough and arrogant enough that God has to have me. But He can use me in order to help you that he can use you to tell somebody else. I'm glad of that. But Peter, for 120, I believe it was 120 years, he preached for 120 years, preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was telling them to repent just as Paul did all through his ministry. I'm sure that Noah was doing the same thing. Repent and believe the gospel. Trust in the Messiah. He was telling that the world was going to be destroyed. And my friend, God did destroy that. And they put Noah in the ark after 120 years. And then the Bible says that he just sealed up the door with his finger. I tell you, I'm glad that he done that to me when I was lost and undone. I was lost, and when I finally got to where I could trust in the Lord and place my faith in Him, I just entered into the ark. I entered into Christ Jesus, and when He did, the Bible says that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. It's something that we cannot lose. It's something that we will have continually, folks. We are saved if we've truly repented of our sins. We're saved, and we cannot lose that. And if God be for us, who could be against us? Oh, we can have confidence in God. We can have confidence in Him. And we can know that He will help us in whatever trial, tribulation, whatever problem arises in our life, whether it be financial, whether it be health, whether it be somebody trying to destroy us, whether it be somebody that has offended us, or whether we have offended somebody else. Folks, God can help us in all those things, and He can give us a heart that we can forgive, and we can be forgiven, as Brother Tim talked about this morning. In the book of Exodus, in chapter 14, we find there that in that chapter that the children of Israel were standing on the banks of the Red Sea. And as they stood there on the banks of the Red Sea, that sea wide and deep, they looked behind them, and here come Pharaoh's army. They was coming, and they were coming to destroy the people of God. And in that 13th verse of the 14th chapter of the book of Exodus, Moses has said this unto the people. He says, "Fear not, and stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show unto you today. For the Egyptians who you have seen today, you shall see them again no more." Moses, he had confidence in God, and he wanted to instill that same confidence that he had in God, the one that created all things. He wanted to instill that in the children of God also. Folks, they were standing there looking at, no matter which way they looked, death this way and death was that way. They were looking at pearls all around about them. But you know what? Moses stuck his rod out over that Red Sea, and it just opened up and divided. Folks, I tell you that if you've been saved by the grace of God, no matter what you might be going through, no matter what's in front of you and what's coming behind you, God will always provide a way. He always will. But it takes a little faith in Him sometimes in order to make that way. But I talked this morning about how that when Jesus had entered into the ship in the 8th chapter of the book of Matthew, after He had preached that great sermon, how He'd entered into that ship, and how that how the great storm come, and how that the waters had filled up that ship, and it's a wonder that it hadn't already sunk. It was such a huge storm. And they come and they got Jesus that was in the bottom of the ship asleep. And I don't know how he was asleep with all that water all around about him. But I tell you, he was God and he wasn't worried. He was he owned it all. It belonged to him. He wasn't worried about it. It was going to be okay. But the disciples that were with him were very fearful. They were scared to death. And when they woke him up, he looked at him. He said, "Why are you fearful? Why are you afraid?" That he had already showed them his great power by healing the man with the leprosy. He had already showed his great power by speaking, and the centurion's servant had gotten healed. And he said, "Why are you afraid? I'm God." And you know, the problem was is that their faith was not where it needed to be. They were more worried about temporal things than they were about spiritual things. And because their temporal things were a higher priority than the spiritual things, they didn't have faith. And therefore, because they didn't have faith, they become very fearful. And that's what happens in our life as the children of God. If we pay more attention to temporal than we do spiritual, life becomes a very scary thing. But I tell you, if you flip that, and you'll make the spiritual things more important than you do the temporal things, you'll find that you're able to walk through the storms of life without fear of man or anything else. They just don't matter anymore. God will be your confidence. It takes faith. I read this on, I won't tell you who put it on Facebook, but I disagreed with it. I wrote it down and I thought I'd just bring it and read this tonight. It's talked about faith. And it says this: "Your faith is not what moves God or makes Him do anything. It says, faith is simply the way you appropriate and receive what God has for you." And I thought, you know, they don't have a clue. They don't have a clue. Everyone who wrote that does not have a clue of what true faith is. Does it? I tell you, the Bible tells me in the book of Hebrews, ain't it, of chapter 11, that without faith it's impossible to please God. I tell you, it's faith that will cause God to move in your direction. It's faith and confidence in Him, believing that He's able and He can do all things, just like Hannah did, and just like Paul was, and just like many others, having faith in God. And when we have faith in God, it causes God to move towards us, and it gives us great confidence. Brother Tim preached a few weeks ago about the first verse of the book of Hebrews, where it says that, I ought to be able to quote it, where it says, "For faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence of things not seen." I don't know how to explain that like he did, but I tell you what, faith is the substance of things hoped for. I tell you, it's my confidence that I have, that I have, that's because of what God has done for me. Then I can have confidence in Him. Because it was something that was of substance. It wasn't a mind thing. I tell you, this the last 2 weeks, the things that I felt in my soul was not in my mind, but I tell you, I could feel it deep down in my soul. It had substance to it. It was real. And it's given me such confidence in my God. It's my confidence. It's the evidence of things hoped for. Here I got it mixed up again. It's the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You know, it's my confidence that I have in God. There was three men in the Bible that called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We all know that story. How that they were supposed to bow down to the when the music was played and give and worship Nebuchadnezzar, and those three men refused to bow before Nebuchadnezzar and would not give him honor and glory, but they would bow down before their God and they would serve him and him only. And they cast him into the fire. And when Nebuchadnezzar looked off into that fiery pit, he said, "I see a fourth man in that pit." and he looketh like the Son of God. I tell you, when you walk in confidence of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, when you can walk through any fire and God will be with you. He will be there right with you, and you'll come out of that fire unscathed and unhurt. And you can just go out and tell the world about your great confidence that you have in God. I tell you, I believe God walks with His people through every fire that we face. Just as He did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, I told you that I've had such the experiences that I've experienced the last 2 weeks that, you know, it's been such a blessing to me. I don't know that, you know, I've ever, you know, in such a long time experienced God in the way that I have in the last 2 weeks. It's just so unreal. I can't explain to you how I felt and how I, in my soul, that I just feel so full and so confident. But after we had our doctor's appointment, I told this at the nursing home Friday, and I got home, and it was just so much. And it was just like, I don't know even how to process this. All night long, I thought on these things, and I got up Saturday morning at 5:30, like I always do. I promised God a long time ago. There's been a time or two I've failed, but it's hard for me a lot of times at night to study because I sit down and I begin to read. The next thing I know, I'm sitting there with my face in the Bible, snoring, and I don't get very far. And so I promised God a long time ago. I said, "I'll promise you, I'll get up every Saturday morning and I'll spend a few hours in the Word. I promise." So I got up as I promised Him. And I walked into my closet. My office is a closet, really. It used to be my daughter's playroom, and she took my study, and now I've pushed me into a closet where I've got just enough room for my desk and a chair to move a little bit. But I still had this on my mind. All these things, all the things that we were facing. And folks, I hit the floor and I began to call on God. God help me. God help my wife. God give us grace. God help us. You know, all I could ask for was help. And I got up from studying, and I didn't feel a bit better. It was still just, you know, it's just, oh, there's so much. So much. And I reached and grabbed my old study Bible. It's not this one, but I reached and grabbed it. And it was the first Bible I ever preached my first sermon out of. And I preached from Hebrews chapter 4, where it says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the divider of soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." And I preached on, that sermon 3 times, Brother Tim. Twice that I preached it, I've seen people saved. Boy, I wish that could happen again. You know, I preached on, "Do you know that you know?" You know, how that the Word of God cuts and it divides, and, you know, and we stand naked before Him. And I seen an old lady in a nursing home. I preached that. I was supposed to preach in a nursing home one night, and I got home from work and didn't have a sermon. And God spoke to me, and He said, go to the first. And I didn't understand that at first, but then I went to that first sermon I preached. And I preached that sermon. And there was an old woman standing, sat there and listened to that sermon. When I got done, she's looking at her friend and says, "I don't know. I don't know. I don't know." And as she got to praying and calling on the Lord. And I tell you that it wasn't just a little while. She stood up and she was patting her chest and said, "How wonderful. How wonderful." She couldn't hardly speak a word, but all she could say was "wonderful." And I tell you, she got saved by the grace of God to preach that sermon again at Mount Healing United Baptist Church. And I preached that sermon there. And I seen a woman that was a member of the church come running to the altar, and she fell down on the altar. And everybody was like, "What's going on? She's a member of the church." And she was praying. It wasn't just a little while. She got up and said, I've been deceived all this time. The Lord just saved my soul. Here I'm chasing a rabbit, Brother Tim. But God is good, is what the point I'm trying to make. And when I picked up that old Bible that I preached my very first sermon out of, I laid it down on my desk and I just reached and I flipped it open. And I looked down. And to my, you wouldn't imagine, I told them this morning, the words that just come up off the page. It said this, it says, "Fear not. Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee." He said, "I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." And I tell you, when those words come up off of that page yesterday morning, I began to just sob and to weep and to begin to thank God. I believe, my friend, in a God that is real and that speaks to us. He can speak to us through His Spirit and through His Word. I believe that God is able to help us in all things. I have confidence in Him. And I tell you what, once again, He instilled in me a great confidence in Him. And I hope that you can have that same confidence too. I know I need to get done. I didn't think I had anything tonight. But we're talking about the wonderful works of the Lord. The wonderful things of God. I told them this morning, we talked about the centurion servant. And how that servant was healed at the words of Christ. And then Jesus spoke to all the crowd that was around them. He spoke to the crowd that was around Him. And He said this. He said, "I say to you that many shall come from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of God. The children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And Jesus said unto the centurion, "Go thy way, and thou hast believed, it shall be done unto thee." And his servant was healed from that selfsame hour. Now, He didn't have to say that to that servant. He did not. He didn't. But He said it to the benefit of all of those that were around about Him. It was to the benefit. He told them that there's going to be people that goes to heaven, and there's going to be people that will go to hell. And it's all going to be based on what kind of faith that you had. He said it to their benefits. To their benefit. And folks, it's to our benefit tonight also. I don't know if there's any here that's lost and undone. But if you are, I tell you that what kind of faith that you have will decide where you're going to go. Where you will spend eternity. And also to the Christian. How we exercise our faith is how we will either receive the blessings of God or we will not see the blessings of God. All that is so very important. The greatest work that God has ever done, especially in my life, was what David said in the 40th Psalm. Where he said, "He brought me up out of that horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and He placed my feet up on the solid rock." That was the single most greatest work that God has ever done for me. And if you're saved tonight, that's probably the most the greatest work that He has ever done in your life. God is good. God will bless you. God will help you. God will be there for you, and He'll take care of you. And He'll provide all things that you stand in need of. But we as the people of God have got to exercise faith in Him. Walk in confidence in God. And when we walk in that great confidence and in the wonderful works of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, we'll find that our life will just totally change. Even as children of God. So many people, so many of God's people are walking without faith and walking without confidence. And that because they have no confidence and because they have no faith, they cannot even do the simplest of things like forgiving. They can't do it. But when we exercise faith and when we exercise confidence in God, we'll find our life a do a 180. God will bless, and He'll be there, and He'll walk with us, and He'll strengthen us, and our life will be so much different. So much different. Have confidence in God. Have confidence in Him. He can help you. He can bless you. And then He can save our children. Brother Tim, I'm going to turn it back over to you.